Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Ron Pollock, who's the founding executive director of Families USA, the National Organization for Healthcare Consumers. Families USA's mission is to achieve high-quality, affordable healthcare coverage for everyone in the U.S. In 1997, Mr. Pollock was appointed by President Clinton as the sole consumer representative on the President's Advisory Commission on Consumer Protection and Quality in the Healthcare Industry. In that capacity, Mr. Pollock helped prepare the Patient's Bill of Rights that has been enacted in many states. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ron Pollock.
Good to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
And the White House had a press conference by phone this morning, and basically, I guess the bottom line, as far as the White House is concerned, is that healthcare.gov on December the 1st is night and day from what it was on October the 1st. That's coming from their special tech troubleshooter, Jeff Zients. Obviously, this is important because they did promise in a month's time to be up and running. What's your understanding of what is the status of healthcare.gov?
Well, healthcare.gov is in much better shape than it has been before. It is the expectation that as many as 50,000 people can go online at the same time, 800,000 over the course of the day. And so there's a reasonable expectation that a good number of people can get enrolled and get coverage fairly soon. They can learn about their options. They can seek to become eligible for very substantial premium subsidies that will make health coverage more affordable. So hopefully this is the beginning, again, of what will be a realistic process of getting many millions of people with new coverage.
Well, according to Jeff Zients, the tech troubleshooter that was brought in, he says that the new hardware upgrades made Friday quadruple the registration capacity and response times are under 1 second with an error rate below 1%. And apparently they have a feature there in it is if you can't get on or if you have any kind of problems getting on or finishing logging on, they send you an email and tell you when you can come back again. So I guess what's going to happen now, first of all, a lot of people I think are probably being deterred. You've got to win those people back. But also, I presume now that the holidays are over, more and more people are going to start trying it, right? So what's your sense of what's going to happen in the next couple of days, Ron?
Well, we know that there are huge numbers of people who are very interested in getting coverage through the Affordable Care Act. In the first month, there were close to 30 million people who tried to get online or called into the toll-free phone number. And that shows that the interest is very high and that people very much are looking forward to getting health coverage. For too many people, they're locked out of the healthcare system because they can't afford insurance premiums. Now, because they will be eligible either for these premium subsidies or the expansion of Medicaid, many of these people can get coverage. And so I think we're going to see a very significant number of people try to get onto the website over the days and weeks ahead.
But if 30 million tried previously and since October the 1st, when healthcare.gov started to crash and burn, there's been nothing but negative publicity since then. And it's both criticism, I mean, you know, almost gleeful criticism from Republicans and very defensive criticism from Democrats. There's no question that the public, as far as they're concerned, are pretty leery. So how are you going to get those 30 million people back?
Well, the bottom line is that people very much want to get health care coverage and have had real difficulties for many years. A lot of people with pre-existing health conditions like asthma or diabetes or high blood pressure or history of cancer have been shut out of America's health care system because insurers refused to provide coverage to them. Or if they were willing to provide coverage, they charged a discriminatory premium. This is something of the past with the Affordable Care Act. And so many millions of people who feel it's really important for themselves and their families to get health coverage are no doubt going to go onto the website. Now, you know, the website is really the technology of the system. It's not really the heart of the system. And so I think people care about getting the coverage. And with the technology improved, I think we're going to see very many millions of people try to get enrolled. And I presumably they will get enrolled fairly soon.
Now, Ron, what's your organization going to do now then to assuage people, you know, those that have already been turned off? Because you have to admit, the news has been pretty bad up until now. And, I mean, obviously the White House wants to try and attract people back to healthcare.gov, but I would think, given the negative propaganda, this is going to take some effort, isn't it? And in terms of your organization, what are you planning on doing to encourage people?
Well, it's very important to understand that this first enrollment period lasts 6 months. We've only experienced 2 months of that. And so the 6 month period is rather long. And I think that what drives people here is the need for healthcare. This is not like buying any other commodity like a television set or a car or a refrigerator. People care deeply about making sure that they and their families can stay healthy, and if they get sick, that they can get care. And so I don't think that the fact that there have been significant technological problems are going to deter people from trying to get enrolled in coverage that they were unable to get before the Affordable Care Act was enacted into law. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to continue to reach out to the many millions of people who have been shut out of the healthcare system in the past, or who increasingly have difficulty paying for premiums, to let them know that health is on the way and here's how they can get enrolled. And I'm presuming that because of this deep interest in getting health coverage and care for families, for family members, they will not be deterred.
There was a very comprehensive article in the New York Times, Ron Pollack, Inside the Race to Rescue a Healthcare Site and Obama. And it's a sort of forensic examination of what went wrong. And apparently, in terms of the technical side, apparently several experts say that the errors in the software code written to stitch the Oracle product into the online system and improperly configured hardware trapped users in an endless technological loops. And this, of course, again, obviously people are very frustrated about it. But in this article, you learn quite a bit about what went on in the White House with their relations with the insurance industries. And the insurance companies, of course, are in a position to do well out of the Affordable Care Act, assuming it works out as advertised. But they and the White House have had a bit of a to and fro here. And as you know, a lot of people got notices that their insurance was being canceled. That created a panic. The Republicans piled on and were stirring the pot as much as they could on that. And various Democratic senators, in particular Mary Landrieu and others, apparently screamed at the White House. So there's been according to this New York Times investigative piece, there's been quite a lot of drama behind the scenes. What's your understanding, Ron Pollack, of where the insurance companies stand on this? Are they still on board, or are they ambivalent? Because some of them appear to, you know, have gone out of their way to be unhelpful, shall we say.
Well, most insurance companies stand to gain significantly as millions of people gain health coverage for the first time. They'll have more customers. So the insurance industry as a whole, I think, wants to make sure that the Affordable Care Act works so that many more people can get health care coverage. But it's very important, by the way, to keep a perspective about these so-called terminations of people who had individual health insurance policies and received a termination notice from their insurance companies. Altogether today, there are approximately 15 million people who who have individual health insurance coverage. That's about 5% of the American population. And, of course, not all of them receive termination notices. It is only those people in plans that have been considered substandard. But what's really important to understand is that 3 out of 4 people who are receiving these termination notices are now eligible for premium subsidies that they weren't eligible for before. So when they learn about the new offerings in through the Affordable Care Act, they will find out, most of them, that they are better off today or with the Affordable Care Act than they were before. And so I think we're going to see a lot of people find that the offerings in the Affordable Care Act will provide them with much greater help than they had before, and it will make coverage much more affordable.
But when you say they'll learn about it, Ron Pollack, how will they learn about it? Because, again, I have to emphasize that there's been an awful lot of negative publicity here.
Yes, people are going to learn about this through a number of different ways. One, of course, is the website, and hopefully the website is going to work much better, as the administration believes it will. Secondly, they can learn about it through calling a toll-free line where they can talk to somebody and get specific information that's applicable to their circumstances. Thirdly, there are different groups of organizations, often called navigators or assisters, that are being used to try to help people learn about and get enrolled in coverage. They are there to provide in-person assistance so that when people are trying to navigate the application for enrollment, they get the help that is needed. So there will be a number of ways people will learn about it. And by the way, I think we're going to see insurance companies and a lot of nonprofit organizations do a great deal of public outreach and advertising about the new opportunities. So there will be plenty of opportunities for people to learn about how they can benefit through the Affordable Care Act.
Well, in California, of course, the Californian Health Exchange is up and running and is very successful, and people are finding that their new policies are incredibly advantageous and almost night and day compared to what they had before, because of so much discrimination has been prevented by these new laws. What is, though, the overall national picture here? With so many Republican governors basically not taking Medicaid, which is no skin off their nose, there's no reason not to do it, but they're not. There seems to be a kind of mean-spirited, almost vindictiveness out there, wanting to sabotage anything that this administration comes up with. But if California is an example of how things are working out well at a state level, what's the overall picture comparing California to some of these sort of red states, particularly these kind of feudal states in the South?
Well, we're seeing significant outreach and enrollment in a number of the states that are running their own marketplaces, California being a good illustration of that. But there are other states as well, Kentucky and Connecticut and New York. They're doing very well with respect to their outreach and enrollment. Now, with respect to the Medicaid expansion, about half the states in the country have now accepted the Medicaid expansion. The other half have not. But it's interesting that there are now 10 Republican governors who were strongly opposed to the Affordable Care Act who have said the Medicaid expansion is good for my state and I support it. So you have governors like New Jersey Governor Christie, Arizona Governor Brewer, Ohio Governor Kasich, and a number of others who are steadfast opponents to the Affordable Care Act said this Medicaid expansion is a terrific deal and we want our state to get the benefit of it. And it is a great deal because in the first 3 years, 2014, 15, and 16, the federal government picks 100% of the costs and the state doesn't pay anything. And thereafter, it never goes below 90% what the federal government pays for. And in the process, states are actually going to save money because many states have to pay for the uncompensated care costs of uninsured people when they go to an emergency room at a public hospital. When more of these people get health coverage through Medicaid, the states will be relieved of those costs. So this is a great deal for the states, and I believe that the other Republican governors, who so far have not said yes, that they ultimately will say yes because it's too good a deal.
Well, what can be done, it just seems so cruel and unusual to deny American citizens rights that other parts of the country have and are enjoying. And I imagine at some point or other, maybe people in these states will realize what's happening in other states, assuming everything works out, and California being an example of how it can work out well. So just in closing, Ron Pollock, what is your sense then of what can be done to help people who are being denied the benefits of healthcare reform by political vindictiveness?
Well, it's very important to know that some of the key groups in the healthcare field that are not identified as being Democrats, but are often Republicans, are telling their Republican friends that it really does make sense to expand the Medicaid program. Certainly hospital leaders are doing that. Many of the key physician organizations are doing that. And even local chambers of commerce that often align themselves with Republicans are saying this is a good deal. And I think that when somebody in North Carolina, which is not a state that has accepted the Medicaid expansion, learn that their tax dollars that are going to Washington are being spent in California or New York or Ohio or Arizona for people in those states so that they get help, but that money is not coming back to North Carolina, I think we're going to see people say that this is a bad decision. And what's really interesting, if you look at the five deep southern states, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina, surveys have shown that the population in those states think that their governors should implement the Medicaid expansion. So I think over time it will happen.
Well, Ron Pollock, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Well, thanks so much for inviting me.
Again, I've been speaking with Ron Pollock, who's the founding executive director of Families USA, the National Organization for Healthcare Consumers. Families USA's mission is to achieve high-quality, affordable healthcare coverage for everyone in the U.S. In 1997, Mr. Pollock was appointed by President Clinton as the sole consumer representative on the Presidential Advisory Commission on Consumer Protection and Quality in the healthcare industry. In that capacity, Mr. Pollock helped prepare the Patient's Bill of Rights that has been enacted in many states. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back with a discussion about whether the Pope is a radical reformer.